boys and girls, how's it going out there? I hope you all had a very Merry Christmas. We had a great time here. The store was amazingly busy. We had a lot of people, hundreds of people in a day. I would have to say probably some of the best compliments I ever got was this year, for as far as people would come in and so sick and tired of shopping and going to stores and all that, and yet here they were in our store shopping and complaining about having to shop everywhere else. So it was actually awesome. It was just an amazing Christmas season, and thank you all so much for taking care of us and supporting us. But we were like the anti-shopping stop, I guess. Robert's in the chair across from me today. We got, what'd you think of Christmas, Robert?
I thought it was pretty amazing with all the attitudes of the people that came in here.
Yeah, it was just crazy.
Compared to what I ran into the couple of times I actually ventured outside of the house.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't horrible anywhere I went, but it was definitely, the tension was there, the little bit of the attitude was there. I didn't run into anybody trying to throw punches or any of that stuff, because I don't shop. But the people that came in here, it was neat to see them kind of go, this is a nice place to shop.
Yeah, they were. It was like they weren't shopping, they were just kind of coming in to hang out.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And the interaction amongst the customers was really pretty cool, because, I mean, we were busy at moments where people would have to wait because they wanted to talk to you specifically or one of the other guys.
Yeah, somebody specific.
So they were willing to be patient and wait for that, and to watch them talking to other customers or sharing some of their fishing stories or some of their knowledge. You know, a couple of customers sold each other lures.
This is the one that I use,
and then the other guy's, well, this is the one that I use. He's like, okay, well, let me try it. Well, I'll try yours, too. You know,
it was really
kind of
cool,
neat.
Because especially up in the spillways, we were getting a lot of people who were, you know, using one lure over another and kind of, but a lot of fun. And anyway, this is the end, the very last show of, well, maybe not the last show. We might do one more, but today's 12/29/17. We have not been able to access our website because I bought the unlimited website program from GoDaddy, and they're supposed to be hosting our website and, you know, all that. And son of a gun, I don't know why they do that.
Every time.
They close it.
It's opening. It's good.
And then because they closed it again. I don't get that. So anyway, people are strange.
Yes.
All right. Anyway. But this is 12/29, and we haven't been able to get on the website because I bought this unlimited plan, and then we outgrew it. 3.5 million people a month tag onto the website, and the bandwidth from the radio phishing stuff going out and all this, we literally outgrew the unlimited plan, and it cost me several hundred dollars to upgrade to their business thing, which means we have a private server. So now that we have our own server, we're going to have a lot of bandwidth. We're now going to try and post some videos. We're going to work on doing some in-store videos and some on-the-water videos and work on that. Won't be happening soon, but, you know, I spent all this extra money to keep the website because they were going to shut me down. Then they had to move it over the holidays.
Yeah, really? That was the perfect timing.
They couldn't wait till the second week of January to do it. No, they had to do it over Christmas, so we couldn't get on. We could not update the... We have stuff we were trying to get up, and we literally could not do it. So, anyway, we're back.
Yep. That's a good thing.
Starting up in the Peace River. I'm hearing about quite a few snook, but if you're really looking for the snook, you got to go way up river. Harbor Heights has some snook around it. A lot of small redfish, trout, stuff like... The trout are actually fairly good size. Not many of them up on the river, but there's some decent-sized trout, but a lot of smaller redfish and quite a few snook upriver.
Yeah, I'll agree with that one. You know, and I've heard of a couple juvenile tarpon up there around the trestle, but they've been very sporadic at best. So there has been some activity up there, and, you know, after next week, according to the weather forecast... I think in the next 2 weeks, you're going to see a lot more fish moving up that way.
Well, this is the time of year for it.
Yeah, we've just been so exceptionally warm that they're a couple, 3 weeks behind.
All right. Well, I have not had any reports around I-75. I know a lot of people going there looking for drum. I don't know if they're actually finding any.
No. I haven't had hardly any good reports at all. It's all been negative, to be honest. They've all been coming down towards the 41 bridge because of how slow it's been there. Especially the whiting fishermen. They've been really disappointed lately up there.
Yeah. All right, so down around 41, what are we getting to around 41?
Mostly smaller trout around the power lines with the occasional keeper one, and they're not schooled up, so you're kind of fan casting or waiting for them to come through. And then right there at the bridge itself, they've been getting some small to medium-sized snook catch and release. A couple of oddball black drum. And those have been assorted sizes. I had a couple guys catch some 15, 18-inchers all the way up to like 30-pounders.
No, what was that?
Black drum, like 15 to 18-inchers, and then a couple 30-pounders, so kind of a mixture. And then couple guys have been seeing some juvenile tarpon, but nobody hooking any. So it's not too bad. It's activity.
Yeah, there's something to do there.
Yeah. Super low tide there today. One guy was talking about how you could see the sandbar, you know, right here at the northbound side or the southbound side on the west end, all the way out mud. One of the boats was sitting on its side.
Oh, one of the boats anchored up out
there?
Yeah.
He said it was pretty skinny this morning.
I got a thing from Cito I'm going to play, and we'll be playing it later during the show. He brought up a great point, and I'm going to talk to you about it then, but people following tracks on their GPS that they made in June and July.
Yes, there's a good
idea.
Runs
them aground.
Yep.
Because it really would. I mean, there's such a huge difference in the water depth. You actually can have a foot more water or more in that time of year than what you're going to have now.
Absolutely.
So that was a great point. I never really thought people following their GPS tracks they made early in the summer versus following that same track now, that would definitely run them right aground.
Absolutely. No, that makes perfect sense, actually, because I never thought about that either, but that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so I was shocked at that. Lashley Pier, what's going on Lashley Pier?
Lashley Pier, mostly I've been hearing about is some small snook. A few mangrove snapper, a couple guys have caught some small undersized sheep's head, but nothing super spectacular for the daytime fishing or night fishing. It's just been a mixture.
There is a possibility of a trout there.
Yeah.
You can get in a little bit of sea trout. They're doing, I wouldn't say it's a bycatch, you get lucky into one. Bayshore Pier, anything happening?
No, it's been quiet there all week. Actually, for the last 2 weeks, I haven't heard much.
Okay. This is weird. We're going into 2018.
It's scary.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't think about it much, but all of a sudden the number changes, and you're like, oh my God, you know, for you it's different, but for me, 74, 78 was just a little while ago.
Right.
I mean, I was just out of high school. A customer
was really cool and described it to me. He says, you know, when you're 10 years old, life goes by at about 10 miles an hour. At 20 years old, it's maybe 20 miles an hour. At 40 years old, it's like 60 miles an hour. And at like 50 years old, he said, it's like 80 miles an hour. He said the time just speeds up exponentially as you get older.
I mean, you could literally put that 10 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour, 60 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a really good analogy for how time goes by, because like the last 2016-17, a day would take a week would take a month would take a year, but a month went by in a day, and a year went by in a week.
Yeah.
You know,
it's bizarre. Absolutely. Yeah.
So Port Charlotte Beach, the spillways, East Spring Lake, canals in general around Port Charlotte.
All the canals in Port Charlotte, basically, I'm getting a lot of good reports because of all the guests that are down fishing off their canals. Some small snook, some mangrove snapper, a few sheep's head of assorted sizes, a few black drum, lots of juvenile tarpon being seen. Some of the guys that have been trolling in and out of their canals, actually obeying the speed limit, have been catching snook and jacks while trolling out of their canals, and some exceptionally good-sized snook and jacks at that. The one guy had a picture of a 31-inch jack that he caught trolling out of the Ackerman waterway. I mean, it was a big one. He was like, what would
any
you
idea
guess?
What lures? Bombers?
He was trolling the Twitch stick. He was trolling a bomber and a Twitch stick, but he got it on the Twitch stick because it was still hanging out of its mouth. And then another guy, he's been trolling the Rapala, the OG, and the Twitch stick, and he's catching them on both of those. So it's been some pretty good fishing around. And then this is funny. An Englishman, well, he hasn't been English for 30 years. He's lived here in the States, but he's still got his heavy English accent. I sold him a Twitch stick because he heard it on the show.
Right.
About a week ago. He came in and cussed at me. He said, you know that lure that you sold me, the Twitch stick? He said, it's a pretty amazing lure, but I haven't caught anything on it yet. I said, well, then how is it amazing? He goes, because I was walking the beach at the beach complex, walked down to the point in between the pier and the boat ramps, made my first long cast parallel on the beach. Something hit it, took my line, and started swimming as fast and as hard as it could back towards the pier, but kind of towards the harbor, and broke him off. He never got to see it, nothing. He said, I had it on for about 30 seconds to a minute. So he's, it's an amazing lure, but I haven't caught anything on it yet. Well, so he was buying another one and buying some heavier leader. And he wanted to buy a steel leader, and I'm like, I don't think that's going to work. You need to buy some mono leader. He's like, well, I'm going to try both. I'm like, okay. But yeah. It was just funny, his whole description. Amazing lure, but I haven't caught anything on it. What do you mean by that?
Okay, well, that's going to take us over to Eljo Bean. What do we got?
Eljo Bean's been getting some trout on that incoming tide. Not a lot of them, but they seem to be a little bit better quality. Same way as the sheep's head. The sheep's head have been starting to pick up a little bit there, but you know, it's more quality than it is quantity at this moment. And then they've been catching a few mangrove snapper, a lot of catch and release snook. Still been a few juvenile tarpon being seen around the bridge there at the early morning at first light. And then that's really about it. You know, guys from the boats and the pier seem to be doing okay, but one day seems to be a better feedback than another, or one angler to another.
I kind of get that. Eljo Bean is really kind of one of those places where I don't know why it makes that sound when it finishes something. But Eljo Bean's always been one of those places where it's always hit or miss, and when it hits, it really hits, and when it misses, it really misses.
Yeah.
Hang on just a second here. Let me see where there's. Okay, we're going to get back into the Maca River area. What do we got on the Maca River area?
Mostly what I've been hearing about is honestly the Tippecanoe and the upper end of the Maca cutoff. Some guys have been catching a few redfish. Snook are starting to move in there in a little bit better numbers. And then a couple guys have caught a couple mangrove snapper and sheep's head just pitching underneath the bushes along with the other stuff as bycatch. Other than that, it's been a little on the quiet side. A lot of duck hunters been there on the weekends.
Any trout going in the middle?
I haven't heard of any trout yet. All right. There's been quite a few duck hunters in there, so several of our regular customers have been apprehensive about going in there in the mornings and in the afternoons. They've been trying to sneak in there in the middle of the day and just not as happy with it.
I haven't heard any lately, and what's really weird is, you know, now I'm not here, we haven't heard any duck hunters since Christmas Day, actually. Yeah. Christmas morning, there was duck hunters out there. And the day after Christmas, nothing. Didn't see too much, but now the river's covered in ducks.
Right. I wonder if season closed.
Could be. I don't know. I don't duck hunt.
I haven't heard any shots fired in basically since Christmas Day.
Yeah, I haven't gone duck hunting since I moved to Florida, because my eyesight isn't that good anymore. And if you're not right on the money shooting at the correct kind of duck, you can get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
And what's funny is Econauts always hate duck hunters. How can you do that? How can you do that? But it was literally Ducks Unlimited and the Ducks Hunter that saved the ducks. Without the duck hunting, they would have no habitat. Ducks were literally dying out. And duck hunters all got together, pulled their money into it, bought wetlands, restored wetlands, worked all that up, and it was literally the hunters, the people who were killing the ducks, that actually saved the ducks.
Absolutely.
That was a that's one of those weird things they never tell you about, but same thing with turkey and all the rest of that stuff, is so many of the animals that we take for granted in 2018, over the last 30 years or so, were almost endangered or put out, and it was hunting that brought them back.
Absolutely.
And young people today have no idea the concept of cruel to be kind.
No.
Sometimes you have to be very cruel to be kind to something. And, sure. You know, thank God for duck hunters and turkey hunters and all this.
Thank God for a lot of hunting organizations, because, I mean, you know, we've talked about it many times, conservation through commercialization.
Yeah.
Those guys, I mean, people are raising heck about the president opening the ivory trade over in a couple of the countries. Well, there's millions of dollars that are brought into those countries to help set up those preserves to keep those animals in check.
Breed them and... Absolutely. Give them medical care and do all that stuff, and it's a very expensive proposition, and it seems like eco nuts just want to let nature be nature, but there isn't enough room for nature to be nature,
right?
And species come and go over the eons on the planet. There's a lot of animals. I mean, we don't have T-Rex or any of those creatures running around now. They live their time, they go away. We don't have the big 7 foot tall birds. We have ostrich, but you know, the predatory ones.
Yeah, but
everything comes and goes. But if we take care of them,
my time,
put medicine, you know, for habitat, all that kind of stuff, the more money we can put into habitat and taking care of them, the more they're going to last.
4 species have become extinct that I'm aware of in my time, 6 in your time.
Oh, I'm sure it's much higher than that. It's much higher than that.
That I'm aware of.
Right, but just think.
Real quick off the top of my head.
If people developed a recipe for giraffe, there would be more frickin' giraffes around the world than you could shake a stick at.
Sure.
They'd be like cattle and deer and, you know, all this other kind of stuff. Anything people like to eat, there's a lot of.
They like to eat it, or they like it as a pet.
Yeah, if it's
there's
a
more
pet,
lions and tigers in captivity than there is in the wild. There's more Burmese pythons in captivity than there is in their natural environment of India and Vietnam. You know, there's more boa constrictors in captivity than there is in South America.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
You know, and it's not a bad thing. It's just when humans spread out all over the planet, animals got to make room. So the more money we can throw into it, the better. So buy a hunting license, even if you don't hunt. Okay, South Gulf Cove canals, this is always the big question.
Guy trolling through there, he's been doing well on some snook. He's hooked 2 little tarpon, but he's been catching a lot of assorted sizes of snook just trolling through the Twitch Stick, the Rapala, and the Yozuri. Those are his 3 lures that he always trolls through those canals on his way out. He said it hasn't been gangbusters, but he's always catching at least 2 or 3 fish on his way in and his way out. I asked him about the jacks, and he says he's been seeing them blow up, but he hasn't hooked any while trolling in the past couple weeks. He said all of his Mayan cichlids disappeared, and so did his tilapia, but his neighbor down about a quarter mile says he's got a whole bunch of them behind his house. Well, so it's probably the salinity coming up a little bit.
Exactly right. People are telling me about gar and stuff and some of the Porchalik canals, and they're seeing gar where they didn't see them a while ago. And I said, well, you must live further back into the canals. They said, oh yeah, we're way back. I said, as the salinity increases in the canals, the only fresh water left is farther back where the tide can't pull it out.
Right.
And so little by little, the fish, freshwater fish, are pushed farther and farther back into the canals of South Gulf Cove, up off the O'Hara in Port Charlotte. They're getting closer and closer to the dams, closer and closer to the ends of the canals, because salt burns their gills.
Yep.
And they become very uncomfortable. A saltwater fish can go easily into freshwater, but a freshwater fish has their gills burned by the saltwater. That's why they can't live in it. So as their gills start getting more tender, they try to get further up into what might be more fresh.
Yep.
And that's why that's all happening. Okay. Let's see. What's going on in the West Wall?
The West Wall has been great to bad, depending on which person you talk to. It's kind of funny. There's a lot of snook moving up and down it. There has been some redfish very sporadically. The trout have been on the outside edge of the bar, you know, in like that 3, 4, even 5 feet of water range. A couple guys are seeing some pompano here and there, but not as many as they were a couple weeks ago. And then as you get a little bit further south, they're starting to see a lot more bonnet heads moving around. So, you know, it's worth checking out, but the main thing is, I think, going to be the main rule to this whole fishing report is going to be move a lot.
Yeah, if you're looking for redfish, go north on the west side, up around Trout Creek, Oyster Creek, areas like that. As you get further north, you're going to find more redfish. As you move south, you're going to find more of the bonnet sharks and stuff.
Yep.
And that seems to be pretty thick on there. There is a lot of snook on the west side. Not a lot of big ones, not a lot of keepers, but there's still quite a few slot fish. Of course, they're out of season. That's
how it always works,
you know.
But they're eating shrimp, I mean, big time. A lot of guys catching them on both live shrimp and the DOA shrimp. The shrimp pattern seems to be holding pretty true right now.
The colder the water is, the better shrimp works. The more middle temperatures the water is, 70 to 80 degrees, the better white bait works. The hotter the water is, 85 and up, the more dead bait works. There's no perfect bait. You have to change by the season. Then you got to mix in crabs and pinfish. And best bet is take a couple different types of baits with you and see which one works. K-Pays, what's going on around there?
Mostly a lot of smaller trout and some miscellaneous flounder. And I've heard of the bonnet heads, obviously, as you get south on the west wall and out there on the Cape Hayes, pretty good. There also has been some ladyfish schools moving on and off of it from the Charlotte Harbor side all the way across. Just depends on which person you talk to that day where he caught them at, but there's been some pretty good size ladyfish, like 18 inchers, you know, which are just a blast, especially if you got guests down visiting that just haven't caught much with saltwater. Ladyfish will excite you and frustrate you all at the same time.
Oh, ladyfish are awesome, you know, and it's like I've been telling people at the fish club, the sail cats and the catfish are some of the most awesome fish out there. Literally think about it. Now, when I say that, everybody goes, oh, come on, give me a break. But when you're out there and you get a hit and the fish is pulling and it's going, you're like, what is that, a redfish? Is it this? Is it that? And all of a sudden the rod goes bump, 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 bump. Oh, it's a catfish. And you become so deflated.
Right.
If you have the proper catfish gripper and you can just hold them up, grab them, pop the hook off, throw them back in the water, they're fun to catch. And they can really save a day from being very boring. And they're just a ball. And you literally do not know on the first half of the fight if that's a redfish or a catfish. There's really, you can't tell the difference. It's only until the rod stops bouncing and popping that you get the idea that, okay, now I know this is a catfish, and become all deflated. So get yourself the right catfish gripper. They're $17.99, and pop, pop, and catfish are off, and everything's good. Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, what's going on there?
A lot of trout in there. I mean, a lot of different trout in there of assorted sizes, I guess I should say. Guys are catching them drifting over the flats. Some guys are anchoring up and just casting to some of the sand holes. But anywhere from 2 to 4 feet of water, they're just scattered. Shrimp and small pinfish are working ideally in there. There is a lot of small snook in there, especially along the backside of Bull Bay going into Turtle Bay, I guess. I always forget what that cut's called going through there.
Eagle's Cut and all that.
Yeah, the Eagle's Nest, Eagle's Cut. And then there has been some redfish in there, but most of the guys are seeing them but not able to hook them. So, not sure what that's about. And then under the shacks, some mixed reports of some snapper and sheep's head of assorted sizes, mostly on the small side. And then there's even been a few small gags being caught underneath the Bull Bay shacks. So, it's definitely one of the better areas to get to right now. You know, it's been protected by some of this wind we've been having this week, so guys have been getting bounced a little bit getting there, but once they get inside there, it's kind of nice.
There is no red tide today in Bull or Turtle Bay. Everything's all clean and green. It's wonderful. You get around over by Devilfish, that's where you're going to start catching up a little bit. But in Bull and Turtle Bay, there is no red tide as of today. Now, that can change by the minute or the hour, but as the updates from CETO came in today, Bull, Turtle Bay are fine. There's no red tide there. Cape Hayes Reef, what's going on?
The only report I got was actually like just the day before Christmas. The guy was getting some nice mangrove snapper there. He caught a couple bluefish and two little Spanish mackerel. He said it wasn't gangbusters, but his grandkids were perfectly happy.
Good. Okay, it's nice there's a little bit of Spanish mackerel up in the harbor.
Yeah.
All right, Gasparilla Sound and Tailing Flats. Today's report, CETO, is red tide. And, you know, it will change, but have you heard anything what was going on?
There was some good trout and a whole lot of small snook along the bushes for the snook, and then the trout had just been all over in the bay there in Whidden Bay.
You know, you said trout and what else?
Snook along the bushes.
Okay. All right.
I think the biggest thing is with this red tide, it's such small little light blooms that it's in and out fairly quickly.
You can't really say light blooms because it's not horrific, but it is heavy enough to cause distress among some people and cause some possible fish kills. But it's not horrific at this point. We do need rain drastically bad.
Yes, we do.
Really badly. All right, Placida Pier and the Trestle, possible red tide, but there is what?
Sheep's Head, some nice mangrove snapper off the broken down trestle part, not the actual fishing pier part, and then a lot of small gags being caught the last several days, and then a few bonnet heads, couple small bluefish that I've heard about, some jacks. A guy even caught a couple blue runners off of there that were pretty good size for a blue runner in the harbor. I mean, or in the intercoastal. Hasn't been too many people fishing there at night the last several days that I've heard of.
Okay. Lemon Bay Stump Pass. Possible red tide, but other than that,
a lot of trouts.
Yeah,
a lot of trout from the Tom Adams Bridge heading north up the ICW. Some good mangrove snapper around the Tom Adams Bridge there, and from there out, their trout have been sporadic along the docks on the mainland side. And even some guys drifting the grass flats, basically, from, what is that, Indian Mounds Park?
Yeah.
Indian Mounds Park down to Stump Pass, just drifting all those flats there, catching an assortment of trout. A couple of flounder have been caught, mostly small, and a lot of small black drum, you know, 12, 16, 17-inch black drum. So, it's not too terribly bad. I was out there just before Christmas and got some nice pinfish and a big pigfish. I caught a pigfish that was probably about 9 inches long.
Really?
Yeah.
They're actually really good eating, by the way.
Yeah.
Back when I used to catch them 10, 12 inches long, I would often flay some up because they're actually pretty tasty.
Yeah.
You know, Englewood Pier, the Tom Adams Bridge Pier, Anger Pier.
Some small trout, some even a few bigger trout. I've heard of one whiting.
Okay.
A couple of the small black drum there, too. And that's about it.
All right. Moving out into the Gulf of Mexico. What's going on out there? Because you're getting red tide close to shore, and then a couple times it went way out, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, there's patches of it out there, but it's just scattered. So, I mean, the possibilities of running into it just moved to the next area. mangroves, lanes, even vermilion snapper being caught in like 45 to 55 feet of water. Carl got into a whole mess load of vermilions the other day, and I think he said he was in 48 feet of water with his customer. You know, he took their boat out, and they fished around quite a few places. They've been hooking into some AJs as shallow as 45 feet of water. And then the sheep's head, grunts, porgies, same thing. You know, it's like that 50 feet of water mark seems to be kind of a magic number for a lot of your, what I would call, kind of grocery fish. You know, the grouper bite's been okay, but, you know, you got to run 30, 35 miles where I'm hearing consistent red grouper and an occasional gag. You know, everyone's disappointed that gag's closing on the first, but this is probably one of the worst gag report seasons I've had.
I had a guy in who said they just rocked them.
Right, and I've had
and what he was using, you know, the Little Johns?
Yeah.
He was using a 3/8 ounce Little John, or a 3/8 ounce jig head, a red one, with a gold fleck tail. And he was using the Slayer and the Little John. They look kind of identical.
Yeah.
Cutting them so they fit the jig head better, tossing them out, and before they hit the bottom, the keeper gags were hitting it.
No kidding.
He was just, the gag grouper, I mean, big, up to like 15, 18 pounds were hitting these things on spinning tackle. It was taking forever to get them up, but they, you know, that 20-pound test braid with a 30-pound fluorocarbon leader, 3/8 ounce jig head, and one of these stupid dopey, it was a Little John or a Slayer, either one was working, and he was catching all these gag grouper and just really tearing them up. And he's bragging like how he caught all these fish, and I'm like, all right, well, yeah, that's cool, but all right, take me back. What made you think to use this? What was the catalyst that made you use a redfish jig on these grouper? How did you decide to do that? Well, then he got frustrated because he wasn't prepared for me asking him what the thought was that made him use it. He yeah. was really happy telling me how many fish he caught because he had figured it out. And it was to keep a woman busy. She was reasonably nice woman, but very kind of frustrating. You know, can't believe her hook got bitten off, and, you know, give me another rod right away and all that. So he handed her a rod with this jig on it. Cast it out for her, handed it to her, and said, here, now just jig with this. It was literally gave her that to keep her busy.
No kidding.
And throws it out, and all of a sudden, the rod just doubles over. It hadn't even hit the bottom yet. He said it wasn't even close to the bottom. The rod doubled over, and she was into the fight of her life on this fish, and it worked again and again. He started switching everybody over, and they had a phenomenal day. These are the accidental finds,
absolutely,
the things that happen out of the mainstream that become almost, you know, urban legend stories about what hits. Remember when they were catching grouper on tomatoes and chicken and
yeah.
all this other kind of stuff? Well, this was one of them.
Nice.
It wasn't a thought-out plan, and I don't even know how to, you know. And that was the funny part, because he was all proud and telling me all about these, that I said, well, what was the thought? What made you think to do that?
Yeah.
Because it's not anything I would have ever conceived of. You know, a Little John with a 3/8 ounce jig head out in, you know, 50, 60 feet of water that he had to fess up. He gave it to a woman to keep her busy.
Nice.
Because she was, you know, he said she was a real nice woman, but she was just a bit on the demanding side. You know, wanted a rod right away, and what are you doing? You know, and he's trying to keep everybody happy, but he handed it to her because he had it rigged up, because he hadn't changed it over, because he had been on the flats, and he had the rod on there, meant to switch it around so he'd have some stuff on there for bonita or Spanish mackerel. Just never got the lure switch. He was busy all day, and okay, well, here, do this. This is a really good one for this. Bada bing, there you go.
Nice.
Okay, so anyway, we're going to way down to the passes. We have a selection of passes. How about Venice? Heard anything?
They have been getting a few sheep's head there up there off the jetties, and some okay mangrove snapper, and then the snook in the evenings have been picking up just here and there. Other than that, it's been pretty quiet.
Okay. We heard Little Gasparilla has quite a bit of red tide around it. What about Boca?
Boca kind of getting some of that mixed report, but it depends on who you talk to, because they've been catching some sheep's head, pompano, and even a few flounder right from the beach. And then some of the guys drifting through have been hooking a couple of Spanish mackerels that get just outside of the pass, but still in the channel.
Spanish and bluefish?
Yeah. The birds have been coming down and they're going over to them. They said that they're little fry that they're seeing, but the bird or the fish aren't really popping on the surface. They're catching them down a little deeper, working jigs and spoons down a little deeper. They're trying to control their speed and keep that stuff down just a little deeper.
All right. What about redfish?
Redfish pass, I haven't heard anything about, to be honest. All right.
Then let's go down to, if you're going to walk along the beach casting out, you're going to get into possible red tide.
Yep.
But if you're not having red tide at the moment, is there any fish possible?
Yeah, I've been mixed report of along Inglewood, Stump Pass Beach, a couple of bonnet heads, a couple of jacks, still a few snook out there cruising the surf, a couple of flounder I've heard about, and a couple of pompano. Weird part is, I haven't heard a single whiting out there at all in the last probably couple weeks easily.
Okay. Ponarasa, Sanibel, what's going on down there?
Honestly, the only thing I've heard about has been the trout right there around St. James City on the very southern tip of Pine Island. They've been getting some fairly good trout out there in those 3 to 4 feet of water.
Okay. God, I was doing so good on the word the. I was actually doing it. Now my fingers switch back to H-T-E instead of T-H-E. All right, Clusancie River. There is trout down by the mouth. And the snook have moved in. The snook were doing pretty good up around some of the bridges, but they seem to be concentrating in that kind of miserable mile around that slow no wake area around the islands there.
Okay. I've never actually fished right up inside the river itself, so I'm not very familiar with it. I fish right just on the outside of the mouth, but that whole Cape Coral.
The trick to it is where you have that slow no wake, you've got the island on the riverside on the north side, and the mangroves and trees on the south edge, there's some bays in there, smaller bays, bigger bays, and those bays are actually holding some pretty nice snook right now.
Nice.
Up further on the river, there's been some snapper activity up by 41, and that's about as much as I've heard this week. I've been trying to stay in touch with our Fort Myers store a little bit more and see what's going on there, and those are the reports that I've gotten. All right, taking us up to Matt Lachey. What's going on at Matt Lachey?
Well, Matt Lachey has been getting some pretty good trout, and then a handful of catch and release snook and some sheep's head. The sheep's head haven't been great numbers, but they seem to be a little bit better quality, you know, 15, 16 inches, and then a lot of little sheep's head, like almost pinfish size sheep's head. So, other than that, I haven't heard much along the IC. Well, not that's not the intercoastal, but I haven't heard much for the Indian fields
or anything. All through that straits on the backside.
Our shrimper hasn't been fishing much to give me much of an updated report from down there. She's been too busy with this Christmas holidays catching shrimp for all the shops.
Right, it's been so tough to get shrimp this season, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, if it's just the dry weather or what it's going on with that's causing all that. But
I'm wondering if the harbor draining and pulling some of that silt and sediment out changed things around a little bit with that bottom, with them not being able to find happy spots. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I know they like a little bit of softer bottom to dig into to hide.
Well, that's going to take us over to Pine Island Sound. Now, I have no idea. I haven't heard anything from down that area.
The only good reports I've had have been right there around Captiva Rocks and the shacks. Okay. A lot of trout. Guys are drifting those flats and catching fish in a foot and a half of water to 8 feet of water, depending on which hole they drift over. Shrimp mostly. A couple of guys have been doing fair on pinfish. And then, of course, the guys that are throwing a lot of soft plastics, just jigging them along and doing fairly well on the shad tails and the jerk baits. You know, like a Little John, for example. You know, but other than that, I haven't heard anything for snook or redfish down in that area at all.
Okay. It's going to take us over to Jug Creek Shoals.
I honestly have got no report, because the last report I got there was about 5 days ago, and a little patch of red tide had moved through there and chased
Burnt
everything.
Store out. Two Pines. What's going on down there?
All the activity I'm hearing about that is closer to Two Pines. Two Pines got a lot of trout, handful of redfish and snook, and then there has been a few pompano and flounder being caught there out on those grass flats with the guys trout fishing too. And they're all catching them on both shrimp and shrimp under a pop, artificial shrimp under a popping cork. And even though a couple guys caught those flounder while fishing under a popping cork, the guy said, I was in 4 feet of water, had my stuff set at about 2 feet of water, and that flounder came up off the bottom that far to grab it. I'm like, yeah, if it's in the right visual field of them, it's not surprising you do that, but it's when you're in 8 feet of water and you catch one doing that, that's always surprising to me.
Yeah.
They're seeing quite a few fish swimming around, but nobody's hooking much of the redfish part of it.
All right, sorry, but I type slow. There's
no,
just,
I know.
You know, it's, I'm not, I can get, you know, like 30, 32 words a minute, but that's still, you know, it takes me a half a minute to type 15 words, so, all right. East side, let's see, we've got some audio from Carl here. Let's see if I can get that to play. Where's that? I can think I can find that here. We talked to, Carl was on the water this morning, and all I read, it's in alphabetical order. If my brain worked in alphabetical order, that would be so much better. All right, let's see what Carl had to say. He was out on the water this morning. Well, hey, boys and girls, we got Captain Carl on the line, and Captain Carl's out there on the water. So what's going on, Carl?
Well, it's a little windy today.
A little?
Yeah, just a little. I got the phone in the buff right now, so it's not getting all by the wind. Yeah, the bite, it's starting to pick up now. It was a little slow this morning.
It was foggy out heck this morning, too, wasn't it?
Oh, it was very foggy. There you go. Reel that one in. You know, the trout are actually sitting right on the outside of the islands. They're not sitting out by the sandbar right now.
So, what are you hitting them on?
Rockport Rattler with shrimp on with a float.
So, floats.
You know, about a foot and a half above the bait is where our floats are. I tried to get on those redfish that I was on earlier today, yesterday, but I got to wait for the water a little bit.
All right, are you finding red sides, east side, west side, bull bay, turtle bay? East side.
East side.
How about the trout?
So far we got one keeper. The rest have been just short. But there's a lot of redfish on this side.
What I've been hearing about is lots and lots of redfish, almost impossible to get them to bite.
No, I mean, I'm throwing shrimp at them, just letting it sit, pretty much dead stick in the shrimp. If you have crabs, they're really eating crabs.
All right, so.
But most of these redfish are oversized.
Well, that's a fun thing.
Doesn't
do much for the dinner table.
Yeah.
Doesn't do much for the dinner table, but what a great, exciting way to have a trip.
Yeah, but I mean, every single one, we've just been throwing it out there and just letting it sit, and that's the only way I'm catching those redfish right now.
Slow and patient.
If you move it at all or bounce it, they won't touch it. They're going to spook off and run 100 miles an hour.
All right. Now, are you on a charter on your boat, or are you on somebody else's boat?
I'm on my boat today.
Okay, so you're kind of back on the water a bit.
Yes, yeah, I'm back out. I'm up and running again.
All right, so you do two types of trips. They can hire you to go out in your boat, or they can hire you to go on their boat, which is about half the price because they're not paying for your boat.
Yes.
All right, so tell us your phone number, Carl.
941-565-7325.
565-7325. 941-565-7325. Okay, Robert, any questions for Carl?
Are you seeing much of the red tide that everyone's kind of been running about?
There is none over here at all. There is no dead fish, no smell. I was, if you're from Cape Hayes over, yes, there is dead fish and it smells really bad. But
the dead fish smell or is it the red tide smell? Because a lot of people are getting that confused out there.
Well, it doesn't affect me, but 3 days ago I was out there in Turtle Bay, Bull Bay, and my people were coughing.
Okay.
So I haven't been back that way, you know, in 3 days. But this east wall, there's no dead fish, there's no smell, there's nothing over here.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing to hear.
All right. Well, Carl, we'll let you get back to your customers. Any last words of advice?
Work slow. Work everything slow.
All right. How does the water feel? Pretty cold?
Yeah. I got two pairs of jeans on. My people have been laughing at me all day because I got two pairs of jeans on, two hoodies, and they're sitting here in shirts.
Yeah, but
Carl, cut off sleeves.
You do that when it's 75.
Yeah, if it's below 80, I'm covered up.
Well, you have fun on your trip there, Carl. Enjoy your folks. We'll see you later.
You guys have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, that was Captain Carl. That was live on the water this morning. We pre-recorded that and stuck the segment in. We're learning how to do all kinds of cool stuff here.
Yeah, that's pretty creative.
All right, so that worked out pretty well. So trout up by the islands, redfish and stuff. Now, if Carl's got to wait for the water to come up, that means they got to be way in the back, sitting in those little bit deeper holes back in the back country, and it's too shallow to go across the flats to get back to them yet. So they ought to be doing pretty good in the afternoon. And the nice part about it is the afternoon's a little bit warmer. They're more likely to eat. But he says, don't move the bait.
Yeah.
If you drag it at all, if you move it at all, you're just spooking the fish. So cast your bait out and let it sit. You got to be patient. So moving us up to Alligator Creek. What's going on, Alligator Creek?
Alligator Creek, about the only thing I've been hearing about is the guys trolling in and out of there catching some jacks and a few snook. Other than that, it's been pretty quiet. Yeah, okay. I haven't heard of much for trout at all, which not surprising because it's warm.
Yeah, but it's weird. It should still have some trout there. Ponce de Leon, anything going on over there?
A few black drum, been a few sheep's heads starting to move in there. A lot of snook cruising through there. They're all starting to move into those canals big time, so quite a few guys catch and release on those. And then they've also been catching a couple of trout on the beach side. A couple of the guests that are down that are used to cold weather are not fazed by the water temperature have been wading out there and catching a few trout. So that's always a good thing to hear. I sent one gentleman down there and he actually waded almost over to the condos fishing the mangroves and the flat. He said he saw a lot of fish, but mostly all he caught was trout.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, that's a very underused flat, and there's always a lot of fish on it, but because it's so quiet, nobody goes there, the fish get a lot more spooky. So you really got to walk slow, cast way out in front of you, and cast all the way out from open water. Then, so you're casting from, let's say you're walking, and we're going to call that 12 o'clock in front of you. 9 o'clock would be where the mangroves are, 3 o'clock would be out in the open water, and you're literally casting, you know, that'd be 9 o'clock to the open water, so you'd be casting 9, 11, 12, 2, 3, you know, and then move forward a little bit, 9, 11, 12, 2, 3, and move forward a little bit. You're making all these casts because you don't know if the fish are closer to mangroves or out in the open. But if you cover the whole area, make four or five casts in different directions from at the shore to the open water and then in front of you, and then walk forward 5 feet or 10 feet and cast again, you're probably going to hook fish. If you're just walking and casting, you're probably going to spook fish.
Yeah.
So what's going on in the PGI canals?
A lot of snook. I mean, lots and lots of snook up in there. And then also quite a few juvenile tarpon moving around, depending on which canal system you happen to be going through, because they're not staying in one spot. Mangrove snapper started to pick back up a little bit more. Guys are seeing a lot of black drum, not hooking very many, but seeing a lot more. And then some really big jacks also being caught through there. And I got a little story from when Carl and I went out, and we didn't do the report because the computer was down, but that's the first time I've been destroyed by a fish, was trolling through that canal system.
Really?
In a long time. I was trolling a Rapala X-Rap, the 10 size.
Right.
And we hooked a fish, and it ran kind of towards the docks. It hit out in the middle of the channel. And it turned and ran back towards the other side of the canal. And I had it on for a good minute and a half.
Hang on just a minute. Okay, so you were talking about trolling 10-size Rapala X-Rap, and you got wrecked. What was going on?
I hooked a fish and fought him and kept him away from the dock, so I had to put a little bit of heat on him and got him back out in the open in the middle of the channel and was fighting him. And I had him on for about a minute. About a minute and a half. And then all of a sudden, limp line. And I'm like, huh. And as I reeled it, I could feel the lure. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I looked at Carl and I said, how can a fish be on that long with six hooks in its face and pull the hook after that amount of time of fishing? And it never jumped, didn't have a distinct jack pull to it. And I reel it up and I'm just thinking, geez. And then all of a sudden Carl starts laughing and he goes, that's why. He goes, look at all your hooks. All of them were bent or straightened out except for one hook.
That's two of those stories I've heard in the last 2 weeks where got big fish on and in PGI and all the hooks straightened out.
Yep.
All the hooks straightened out.
I've had one hook straighten out. I've even had two hooks straighten out, but to have five out of the six barbs on two treble hooks bent or straightened out. I'm like, and those X-Rap 10s have got a fairly stout hook on them.
No, those are two extra or three extra strong. They're not cheap hooks.
No.
Rapala put some really good hooks on those X-Raps because they're made for bigger fish. They don't come apart. They hold together. And to straighten those hooks out really takes some doing.
Yeah. It surprised me. You know, and he was just laughing the whole time because he's like, I can't believe it pulled either, until he saw the lure and then started really laughing. Beyond me. So it was cool to catch the Loch Ness Monster for a second.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to take us over to Gilchrist Pier. Any Loch Ness Monsteresses at Gilchrist Pier?
Actually, I had one guy go fishing there, and he caught one little whiting and a couple of stingrays. That's it. Unfortunately, no great report, but it's the first report I've actually had off of there in quite a while where somebody actually caught something.
Okay, and that's going to take us over to the reef. What's going on at the reef?
It depends on the day you're there. Some good mangrove snapper, been some sheep's head starting to move on to it. There has been cobia there off and on. Most of them have been on the small side. A couple guys who've seen some tarpon roll on it, of good sized tarpon. And then there's also been some small gags. One guy caught a gag that was 23 1/4 inches. He's like, eh. You know, he was a little bummed out, but it was still a nice gag at that. So it's not too bad. The only thing I ever heard of is any Spanish or anything else of unusualness. I don't know about you.
Okay. And deep holes in the harbor. Anything going on out there?
Honestly, crickets. Okay. Most of the guys have been running into some of the red tide crossing there, so I think guys are kind of avoiding fishing it.
All right. Towards the end of the show, I got a thing we did with Cito. I'll play that, but it's about a 5-minute segment, so I'm going to wait with that. Okay. Normally, I'd drop it in there in the deep holes, but it's about a 5-minute segment, so we're going to wait towards the end of the show. All right, bait reports. Any kind of white bait anywhere?
None.
All right, thread fins?
That's like the unicorn. None. Morris said he saw some out there when he took some guests at his people out in like 40 feet of water. He saw some out there, but I haven't heard of any guys sabiking any or anything like that out there around the buoys.
Alright, and alright, pinfish.
Pinfish, mostly around devilfish and the backside of Boca by the golf course. Been the two primary places I've been hearing guys getting them.
Well, off the end of the north end of Pine Island, on that outside the sandbar, on the close by Two Pines.
Okay. So it's that smokehouse bay or whatever.
Yeah,
area?
Something like that. But on this, Matt Lachey side, and they're literally out in 8 feet of water.
Okay, so deep.
Yeah, they're out deep on off the end of the island. Other than that, I don't. You heard of ladyfish anywhere?
Just the few right there at Cape Hayes. But other than that, it's just been kind of one here, one there kind of thing. I've been hooking a few at night behind the house.
Over in the Port Charlotte Canals. That's good.
Don't hook them during the day ever, but I've hooked them at night.
All right. That's going to take us over to the freshwater report. What's going on freshwater-wise?
A lot of crappie fishermen. Even though it's been warm, the crappie have actually been still cooperating pretty well. Any of the Port Charlotte Canals, Rotunda Canals. Some guys been running over to the Okeechobee and doing really, really, really good at Okeechobee. You know, Wayne Quick was in here, I don't know, about 10 days ago, and he said it's been absolutely unbelievable crappie bite over there. He said the bass fishing's been pretty good, depending on which day, but he said the crappie bite's been really exceptionally well.
How's the bass fishing around this area?
Bass fishing, a lot of guys are using shiners right now. Shiners seem to be the ticket, and it's been a lot of those canals off of Price Road, basically the Northport canals. That's where it seemed to be getting most of the reports from. I haven't heard a lot here at 9 Mile, but that's always kind of a semi-consistent spot, so I enjoy 9 Mile Canal more than any of them, pretty much.
Yeah, comes and goes.
Yeah.
All right. Tarpon reports. What do we got tarpon-wise?
Just some juvenile tarpon in the Port Charlotte Canals and PGI Canals. The nearest big tarpon report I had was 2 weeks ago, and that was out in the pass. But I haven't heard of any since then.
What about at the reef? They've been talking about possible tarpon out at the Alligator Creek Reef.
Yeah, a couple guys have seen them roll, but nobody's hooked any.
Okay.
So, I don't know if that's a good thing, bad thing. It's just a thing. It's worth a mention, and if people are ready for them, they can give it a try, but I wouldn't hold your breath for it. It's the unfortunate part about this time of year.
Okay. Well, that kind of wraps that up. I'm going to do the Cito. It's kind of a red tide area report here. So let me see where I got that. Again, alphabetical order. All right. Hey, we got Marcus on the line, and it's Cito time. Out for all you people going around the areas, we're going to kind of get a feel for what's going on from the people around the water, everywhere on the water, because everywhere you look, you see that crazy yellow boat out there. So, Marcus, what's going on the water from Cito's perspective?
This morning, we got a report of some red tide from 17th Street north to Little Gasparilla Pass into the Sound and south to Three Sisters. So essentially all of Little Gasparilla Pass. However, Bull and Turtle Bay are both clear out in front and inside. Up the harbor, none of the captains have reported any fish kills or bad smells. So pretty much all of the upper harbor seems to be fairly clear. Just Little Gasparilla Pass and Sound down the outside of Boca Grande Pass to 17th Street.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Now, what are you guys seeing out there in the water? I mean, your guys saying it's pretty rough out there today?
Oh, no. Beautiful day today. Beautiful day. light breeze, light chop on the water.
Sarcasm is not allowed.
Well, then you got the wrong guy, buddy. Yeah, a beautiful day on the water, and we've been extremely busy, a lot of nighttime boating, people.
What's going on tonight? Now, why are you having to go out at night?
A lot of it's having to do lately with the people doing PGI Christmas tree lights, hopping on their boats and driving around the canals later in the evening, you know. That's pretty much the culprit lately. There's a lot of boat traffic out there at night.
So fishing. You guys got a lot of people breaking down while they're out doing the Christmas light tours and stuff?
Mainly running out of fuel. A lot of running aground this time of year. As you know, the low tides are really, really down there.
So basic things for people to watch out is if you're going to go out look at the Christmas lights, put an extra 5 gallons of gas in your boat.
Exactly.
So just go down, get 5 gallons of gas, dump it in the boat before you go out to look at the Christmas lights. And the other,
you know, any retake for that is if you get yourself a CTO membership, you don't have to worry about running out of gas because we'll bring it to you for
you
free.
You guys brought me gas when I ran out of gas. I'm a proud CTO member. I am, you know. I mean, we've been friends for a very, very long time. But irrespective of that, I mean, when I got a couple of times I've had problems on the water and I didn't want to bother my friends, I was able to call CTO and it was very easy, you know. One call and we're good. We'll just sit here and fish till CTO gets here.
Excellent. I'm glad that you're happy with the services.
No, absolutely remarkable. So, now, as far as running aground, what's the mistakes people are making?
Basically, following tracks. As I talked about a minute ago, the tides have been really low. So, what we find people doing is following their tracks that they made in June, and we had an extra 2 feet of water.
So
if your boat draws, you know where I'm going with it. So now in the wintertime, we get super low tides. They're following tracks. Oh, I've been here before. It's no problem. Well, they have been there before, but they haven't been there in December and January when we have these really strong low tides with the north winds blowing the water out of the harbor.
Good point. You know, I would have never thought about that. Honestly, I wish Robert was here because that's a remarkable point that's never been brought to my attention before. But people following GPS tracks that they made during the spring or summer when we had a lot of water would now get them into a lot of trouble. That's
exactly.
So great point.
One of the other big common mistakes with as far as GPS tracks go is a lot of people ride around with their GPS zoomed out to where it looks like you're actually following your track. But when you zoom in, you may be 200 yards off of that track.
Gotcha.
And you know 200 yards puts you way out of a 100-yard wide channel.
I literally was 8 feet out of a channel, launched off a sandbar, and slapped my boat. After it came out of the air and came down, I was in a mud flat. And it took me an hour and a half to get the thing out of there. I mean, and that was a good time. I had the wife with me, and I gave her the bow rope, and I said, walk that way and try and find some deeper water. And she was out there walking around, and that gave me a direction to push the boat. Took everything out of the back, life jackets, everything, put it all in the front, get the boat as flat as possible, and I got in the back and literally did an African queen pushing it out of there. But, you know, the one thing is if you got two people, don't you both push? one's got to go out and find deeper water, get a rope and pull the boat towards the deeper water while the other person pushes the boat. That's the key to getting out of that, because otherwise you might be pushing to shallower water.
Exactly. And, you know, once again, CETO membership includes ungrounding, fuel drops, jump starts.
So yeah.
You don't even really have to get your feet wet if you got a CETO membership.
But I can't call CETO when I go aground. I might admit to it later, but I'm not having pictures of me being pulled out off the flat.
Social media is a killer, you know. I mean, do we really want to see Fish and Frank on Facebook getting a tow from CETO?
No, I don't mind getting a tow from CETO, but getting pulled off a sandbar because I was stupid, I might have a little too much ego for that.
There you go.
So anyway, anything else that we should be aware about? So we've got some fairly bad red tide around Gasparilla Island and in the front of Gasparilla Island, but most of the rest of the area is pretty clear right now.
Yeah, and like I said, Bow and Turtle Bay are totally in the clear as of this morning when I talked to our captain.
That's good, because we were talking to Carl, and he said 3 days ago it was bad, but now it's good, so that's great.
But once you move up past, like, Devilfish, you know, into Gasparilla Sound, it's getting pretty nasty up in there. You know, Gasparilla Marina is just outrageous with dead fish. But for the most part, you know, I've been around the harbor pretty much the complete harbor the last 2 days, and I really haven't seen much other than around that Gasparilla Sound area.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of bad reports inside and outside of Boca Grande Island, Gasparilla Island. So...
Yeah, and, you know, just because you see dead fish doesn't necessarily mean red tide either.
No, if they're dead mullet, that's commercial fishing.
Exactly. So look for the dead fish and the smell, you know, the respiratory itch there, and then you can pretty much rule out the commercial fishermen. But, there's a lot of mullet being discarded right now.
Yeah, if you're not coughing, it's a horrific waste going on by the commercial fishing or mullet fishing in particular. All right, well,
exactly.
I appreciate it, sir. I'm going to let you get going, and thank you, CETO, for the red tide updates. We'll talk to you again next Friday. And we'll
thank you, Frank. You have a great day, and be safe on the water, everybody.
Oh, how does somebody get a hold of CETO? What's the number?
941-625-5454. In the Charlotte Harbor area?
941-625-5454.
For Charlotte Harbor and nationwide, right. The phone number is 1-800,
I'm going to say one thing about that. And you know I love CETO, but I'm going to say the Charlotte Harbor CETO is incredible, but each area is franchised out, and some areas could be better, could be not as good as the Charlotte Harbor branch. The Charlotte Harbor.
That's definitely true. We are a franchised area. I appreciate your good words there, Frank.
Yeah, I love CETO. You know, you and I have been friends, and all the guys there are extraordinary. But you cannot hold that true all the way around the country. So, I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to say the 941-625-5454. Is that
yes,
right?
Sir.
All right. That's the number to call. I mean, because if you're going to be here boating and fishing in Charlotte Harbor, I strongly, strongly, strongly recommend getting CETO. I'm sorry for other franchisers, but to be quite honest, get your own reputation. Charlotte Harbor rocks.
Thank you, Frank. Thank
sorry
you.
About that, Marcus. I know it's not what CETO International wants, but, you know, I have a habit of speaking the truth, and you guys are extraordinary. This is a great franchise, but I actually get some complaints from other areas, so I always like to qualify that.
Thank you, Frank. You have a great day, buddy.
All right. Happy New Year, man.
You too. See ya.
Bye. Okay, boys and girls, we're back. And, yeah, sorry about that, CETO, but... You know, I'd be less than honest if I wasn't who I was, and I just am who I am. And CETO does not pay to be on here. All that's gone. And we're just friends, and I think they do a good job. But I don't think it's that way all over. So this is one of the last broadcasts from 2017. Can you imagine that? 2017 is over. I remember, you know, thinking 1999 and going into the 2000s. And I got to tell you, this is, you know, every year it kind of freaks me out. But this year, for some reason, that 18, I can't even imagine thinking about 2020. It's just mind-boggling. But I want to tell you, on behalf of myself, Fish and Frank, wife Terry, Robert, Jeff, Mike, Barb, Steve, the other Steve, Austin, Carl, Josh, Greg, Vinny, Colonel Rick, Kale, Chandler, I mean, there's a few people I'm forgetting on that, I know, too. But just wanted to say thank you guys from all of us, and we wish you the very best in the new year. And thank you for a great 2017. And we hope to see you all and talk to you all a year from now in 2018. Or a day or two, whatever it is. Anyway, there might be some more shows, but just want to wish you a happy new year. And thank you all so much for your support, friendship, and everything else that's going on. So Fish and Frank here. We will see, or we'll catch on the next Radio Fishing. And you guys have some fun. If I could find my way out of all this, it would be helpful. But you know what? It always goes that way. So, anyway. There it is. Found my way out. All right. Welcome to a place of rods, reels, line, and fish. You're about to enter the fishing zone.